John Gray is an Emmy Award-winning television journalist and columnist in upstate New York, and the author of many children's books, including God Needed a Puppy, Keller's Heart, and Sweet Polly Petals. His latest book is a novel for adults. It is called Manchester Christmas, where a young writer is drawn to a small New England town in search of meaning for her life. Soon she encounters kindness, romance, and is pulled into a mystery centered of an old abandoned church and the death of a special girl. Again, the name of the book is Manchester Christmas, and it's a great pleasure to welcome John Gray back to the roundtable. John, thank you very much for being here. Always good to talk to you.
So happy to be here. Thank you so much.
How did the novel come about? How did this particular story come to be?
You know, believe it or not, it started with a dream. I know that sounds silly, but it's actually true. I dream, and I never remember dreams. I'm one of those people, unless I dream and wake right up, I don't remember anything. But I happened to dream one night about 2 years ago this month of a guy in a church, an old church that looked like it wasn't even a church anymore. He was looking at stained glass windows, and I was the only person behind him in the church watching him look at the window. And he turned to me and said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "See what?" He said, "The window." I said, "No." And he said, it just changed." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Something's there that wasn't there before." I looked at the window and said, "It looks the same to me, sir." And he said, "No, it changed." And then and I woke up, and I was like, that was an interesting dream. I have no idea what that was, but it kind of stuck in my brain. And when I had a thought of writing a novel, I kind of raised the premise of, what if you were somebody who maybe was renting an old building, used to be a church, maybe you're somebody who doesn't even, you're sure, not even sure you believe in God. You're not sure what you believe, but you start seeing things subtly change in the windows of a church. What would you do with that information? Would you think you're losing your mind? Would you think there's a message there someone's trying to get you to do something with? And that was the premise for the whole novel.
What brought you to Manchester?
You know, I love that area. And I just thought, you know, what would be an interesting place to set a novel? And I thought, what if an outsider went into a town like Manchester right around Christmas time and ended up living in an old church that's been converted into a sort of a condo, and only she started seeing things in the windows? What would she do with the information? And then the story developed into the town being a beautiful little town like Manchester is, not far from us here in upstate New York, but maybe a town that's wounded right now and sort of hiding a few secrets. And the stranger comes in and she's being used by someone to try to help the town. And that's kind of what it worked out to be. I married the two between Manchester being a perfect setting for a novel and then this other story idea with the windows.
I should mention, of course, that it's Manchester, Vermont. There is also a Manchester, New Hampshire in our listening area, but in this case, it is Vermont, and it is an idyllic place, and it's also very New England-y. How does that help tell the story, help color the story of just having that place? Because there's that image that so many of us have of the quintessential New England sleepy town, especially at winter.
Yeah, it's a perfect setting because it's all in one place. Even though Manchester, or Vermont, or New Hampshire, or Stockbridge, or any of these towns that are similar, although they're spread out, there's usually a downtown area, and it can be a collection point where if you introduce several characters, where they come together in certain places, like a diner, like a Main Street. And it gave me the opportunity to really sketch out some interesting people who I think would live in a place like Manchester. And the supporting characters in my story are as important as the main character, I think. And people who are reading it, I'm enjoying the fact they're saying, "I really like this person," or "I really like that person." Because that was my goal, to make you get drawn into all of these people's lives and then care about them. The one thing drives me crazy, especially with movies, is when they don't spend time getting you to care about anybody, and then they put them in peril, where you think, well, why would I care? I don't even know who this person is. And it was important to me that I take some time in the first few chapters of the book to introduce these characters and make you get to know them a little bit, so you have a vested interest in what happens next.
So in these characters, I mean, you're taking people who are very much us, or like us, who are now looking to heal and to spread grace.
Yeah, the timing of it's interesting because I wrote this book, I started January 6th of 2019, and people say to me, "Neil, the exact day you started?" I said, "Yeah, I actually do. It was a Sunday. I just decided to sit and start writing." And it took me a few months, but it was last year before any of this but really before COVID happened, before we had such a contentious election this year. I wanted to escape from myself, away from all of the anger and the bitterness you see so much of on social media. And this novel was a little escape for me, and I think it will be for the reader too. It's the timed out perfect, where if you're sort of been trapped at home with a mask on for 9-10 months and you're looking for something to get your head out of, there's only so many hours of Netflix you can watch. This might be a good antidote, where it's got the hope of Christmas and of healing and forgiveness. There's a lot of that in there as well, so which the world could always use more of.
It's also very contemporary too. I mean, we can find ourselves very easily in these characters, can we?
Yes, I think so. And I thought of people I've met along the way, and when I sort of sketched them out. So there's a lot of that in there. You're right. You certainly can relate to these people: the sheriff, the innkeeper, the lady at the diner. We've all got a favorite person, whether it's a lady who rings you up at Stewart's every day or somebody at your favorite diner pouring the coffee. I try to make these people feel like people you would know, so you'd feel more connected to the story. And I'm hearing back from people that they are feeling very connected to it, which is great.
What's the hard part in writing a story like this? You started it in January of calendar year 2019. What's the hard part?
For me, at first, it was knowing I could do it. I'd never written anything more than a couple thousand words. This was going to be 80,000 words. So it was scary to not know once I started. But like hiking a trail you've never been on before, you say, well, I can think I'm going to be okay. But, you know, if it gets dark and gets cold and I get a little turned around, what am I going to be able to do? I don't want to get in trouble here. And I was a little nervous about the hard part for me was believing in myself that I'll be okay once I really commit to it. And I think I got about 17,000 words into it, 20,000 words into it. And I realized I had a lot of stories still to tell that I was excited to tell. I thought, gosh, I think I can do this. And then of course it's finding the time, because I have a regular job, finding the time to commit to it and do it and sticking with it. But the writing wasn't really hard for me because I enjoyed these characters. Once I had them locked in, I really liked being with them. And I actually hated finishing the book because I felt like I was saying goodbye to them. And I didn't like that. I was like, I could have written another 300 pages just on these people. But, you know, I wanted my first novel to be a nice length where people can read it in a sitting or two and enjoy it.
Do you see yourself writing about them again?
I do. In fact, you know, when I was trying to find a publisher, I sent the manuscript out, and one of them went to a Hollywood guy named Brian Herzlinger, who loved the story, and he got a hold of me over the summer right after I got the publishing rights with Paraclete Press, and he said, I want to buy the rights to make a movie out of this. He said, but I'll have a better time selling the idea if there's a recurring character. I said, well, I'm glad you're saying that, because I'd love there to be two or three books based on this main character, Chase Harrington. And he said, oh, I'd love that. So I sketched out two more novels for him, and I've already got a commitment from him and from the publisher on the sequel, probably for next Christmas it would be out. So we're definitely going to visit with the main characters again.
Tell us a little bit about Chase and what brought you to this character and what you think brings readers to this character.
Well, there's a little bit of me in Chase, and I grew up in South Troy. We were a middle-class family, but, you know, we had just enough of everything, but there was no trips to Disney World. And Chase was kind of like that, growing up in a single household in Seattle with her mom. And her big escape for her was going to the mall after Christmas, when those calendars that they sell at the kiosk were marked down like 70-80% off. And she would buy a calendar with her nickels and dimes, and she'd take the pages and put them on her wall. And she sort of lived in those pages all year long as a little kid. And I like that idea of you don't need a lot of money to escape, whether it's a book or whether it's a picture or anything with art. And she does that. But the one picture that really spoke to her was she bought a calendar when she was like 13 of New England villages at Christmas time. And one of them was Manchester, Vermont, at Christmas. And she was so enamored with it that when she would always take the calendar pages down and buy a new calendar, she couldn't take that one down. That was the one that stayed on her wall all through her childhood, through college. And even though she became a success as a writer, in my story, she was always pulled to this picture and thought, you know, I can't write another word. I just got to carve a month out of my life and travel with her dog to Manchester, Vermont, and see if this place, it can't possibly in her mind live up to what she's been imagining at Christmas time, but she wanted to go see it, to see what it looked like. And I like that idea of somebody being pulled by a photograph, a song, any work of art, and saying, I have to find that. I think I think your listeners now probably have seen a picture of Italy and said, I've got to go there, or wherever it might be.
Sure.
It could be a line in a song where it just touches them in a way where they're like, I have to go see that. And that was Chase's character, and there was a little bit of that in me as well. So I think they'll be rooting for her as the outsider coming in who just is trying to find a little bit of meaning to her life. And she feels like some piece of her is missing, and it might be in Manchester. And that's why she goes.
You've been a presence in this community for so long on the airwaves and have, of course, been in people's homes for a long, long time. What is that like to then write, to show another side of yourself and develop that audience?
I love it. I mean, I love writing. I love disappearing in the stories. And I love that people can see that side of me. Because so much of what I do, you know, is the old line, you know, journalism is like literature in a hurry. You know, this book gave me a chance to really stretch my legs a little bit creatively. And I really enjoyed that. There were chapters I could just really have some fun with in there. And the reader hopefully will have fun, too. It is different for people who look at me one way and they say, oh, you're writing books now. OK, but I think once they get in there, they realize there is that other side to me. And I'm enjoying it. I really am. I'd be much happier being an unknown writer who writes long novels than somebody on TV who gets stopped at the supermarket. I don't mind when people stop me and say hi, but this side of me is maybe my truer self. Somebody who sits at a computer, thinks about something, smiles, and then types.
Well, the book is really lovely, and it's now out. It's Manchester Christmas, and it's by our good friend John Gray. John, thanks very much for being with us. Have a lovely holiday season, and thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me on, and Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to your listeners, and we'll all cross our fingers we can get past this virus very soon.
Very good, John. Thank you very much. Be well.
Thank you.
Again, the name of the book is Manchester Christmas by John Gray. It is published by Paraclete Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.